yeah, this is interesting. We were just saying seconds ago off the air, you know, this is one of those things like, how does one go through talking about a movie like this? That is indeed, you know, 97% dialogue. And I think, like we said, the way to do it is like, kind of just talk about it, maybe not go through a piecemeal, but also just, you know, the ins and outs of Kev Smith's career, the fact that like we do this because he was doing it in 2007, you know, all that kind
of
stuff.
There's plenty of plot here too to be played with. Like the problems with comedies is that you are just drawn to, yes, you are drawn to being like, that's funny, and just pointing out the jokes. But there's, if you stick to the plot of them, they're always crazy. That's the great thing about comedies is that they usually are insane for some reason. What they actually decide to make the story up with, like this one is the goings on of a video rental store and the parking lot and the quick stop in a Jersey suburb.
It's kind of a dirty movie with all these, you know, I'm just picturing when I was watching it this afternoon, I haven't seen it in a while. I was thinking about like Travis Bickle trying to take a date to this. I mean, this is a dirty movie, references.
It is. And I saw this movie when I just looked it up because I definitely saw it. Like I rented it immediately when it was out because like it was like the funniest movie of the year and no one was watching what I was watching. I was 11 years old when I saw this movie.
That's fucking crazy. And I didn't see this until high school.
It kind of warped my brain. Like literally, like this is like, I watched this movie as an 11-year-old kid, almost 12.
Wow, and, that's awesome.
And like it ended, and then I've never done this before or since, rewound it and watched it again. And I was like,
oh, yeah.
And then over the course of the Blockbuster rental, I showed my sister, I watched it with her, and then I watched it with my brother. Yes. Like I was like, this is the movie we need to see.
Was there a lot of tracking? I'm going to say you put it there with it. When did you ever pause it on that when Randall holds up that porno?
I think
man?
I tried to see what was going on, but with the VHS quality, that was not happening.
Oh man, yeah, you can see right up in there with that.
But it's really weird. Like this movie is, and I've fallen out of love with Big Kev, even though I always respect and like him as a person. I haven't liked a movie of his in about 20 years. But this movie is like a foundational building block of whatever I am.
Exactly. Yeah. We wouldn't be doing this, I don't think, without this movie. I mean, just talking about like, you know, the contractors on the Death Star. This was, you know, catnip for me as a kid.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's a Gleep glossary bit. Yeah. That's a Gleep glossary bit. Exactly.
It was part of the Tarantino. I mean, this is why they are connected in this way, is that pop culture is directly part of the dialogue, and it's new. It's not like you're not necessarily, they are talking about old stuff too, but it's very fresh stuff too is being talked about. And like I remember I think we got maybe three or four of these from the old Columbia House.
Because copies of Clerks on Tape.
I rewatched this shit all the time. Yeah. I rewatched this fucking constantly. I like Steve, I was like 12 or 13 when I saw it. And
Chris, what was your dad doing? Using these tapes to prop up a table with a low leg?
We're filling out a very tasteful shelving unit in the back. Andrew has seen it.
Chris, this is dipping. I need another demolition man under here. I need another demolition man under my chair.
One of the coolest things I've ever seen, and Chris was the first person I knew that like had this, the back porch of his mother's house was basically a Blockbuster. Wow. Like floor-to-ceiling bookshelves, and just VHS tapes as far as the eye can see.
Little rich boy, huh?
And most of them, were stolen for a penny a tape.
Little criminal boy.
Yeah, that's
a little different. But yeah, this in Dazed and Confused got so much fucking watching. I just ended up getting like a bunch of copies because the tracking actually did start becoming a problem.
Oh, now, wow.
What drew you to Dazed and Confused as a young man? Was it the spankings?
Yes, the spankings, of course, was a huge thing.
Envision yourself perhaps chased by a beefy Ben Affleck with a paddle of some sort.
Well, I mean, that's probably why I have an attraction to Ben Affleck over all these years.
I knew it.
Probably something to do with that.
Get spanking.
Also had a lot to do with, you know, the all the very attractive women and the pot smoking. Those were also very fun.
It is a good movie as well.
I love that movie.
A lot of those people wound up in the Viewisk universe as well.
They did.
I always hated that term.
Did they
always
not?
Hated it.
The web got them.
What I think I really got drawn to by this movie was the amateurishness. Like that it is there. They wear it on their sleeve. Like you did for the first time, you could watch this and be like, I can make something like that. Yes. And you weren't necessarily wrong. You could have done something like this. It might not have looked as well. It might have not felt, you know, fit together so precisely like it does. But it, you could have. And I felt that every time I watched it.
You know, and here's the thing. I rail a lot these days on like anybody can make a movie and then it winds up on Shudder or some shit. And it's fucking terrible. But back then, I mean, you know, you're watching this movie. I can see everything. It's lit appropriately. I understand what's going on. It's edited competently. Like, yeah, this is amateur stuff, but it's a dude who at least had like a little bit of a time in a film program and like associated himself with a producer and Scott Mosier, who, you know, was also a big talented dude. And like, that's a big reason. If this was like a shittily made movie, like an incompetently made movie, dialogue and performances be damned, I don't think we'd be talking about it today.
No, it is, because that's the thing, and it knows its limits, and that's the smart thing, right? Like the whole, the Shutters instead of, you know what I mean? You're not doing Day for Night or anything like that, or worried about having to do any kind of that stuff. Because it's smartly, like, it's a very limited film, again, smartly, and I think that the issues with Kevin Smith as a director is he kind of never grew in the capital directing sense of like moving the camera around and like filming action sequences, these kinds of things, maybe later on. But like, I just rewatched Dogma, and that's a bit of a problem in that movie, even though the movie's really funny and still very dear to me. Like, anytime there's an action scene, they kind of cut away from it, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, because Dogma's like a really big idea. It's a really big movie, but it's still made with the same sort of, not small-minded, but just like small aesthetic of Clerks.
He just wants to watch two people talk. Like, that's what he's really interested in. That's a very, and he cites him as an influence even in the credits, like very Jarmusch kind of big a deal. Time. Again, an 11-year-old kid didn't realize that at the time. This was like fire from heaven kind of a thing at that time. But like, yeah, there is a language that built this.
You're just making me now think like, Clerks on Broadway, maybe. That could work.
Dude, it'll happen. It will happen.
She sucked 37 dicks.
Okay, maybe off Broadway and they're just talking. But.
Yeah, dude, it's a downtown musical.
Well, maybe
what a
that would be great. And then Berserker, obviously. Olaf can do an interlude in the middle.
He's the salsa shark. He's the salsa shark. Do, 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 do.
Cancer merchant.
See, we're getting it together here.
I love this dog in the beginning. Great looking dog. I imagine rest in peace, this dog.
No, he's still alive.
Dude, the movie's 32 years old. Come on.
I looked it up. He's fine.
Oh, he's good. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
I like him falling out of the closet. It's a funny little gag.
So funny, because it's like, how'd you wind up in there, Dante? How fucking wasted were you last night? What is going on? It's like a Mark Borch. I was so wasted last night, man. I slept in my fucking closet.
It's Colin Murat. I mean, Mark Borch, that's a great name to bring up here, because this is what Mark never did, at least in the early offing, you know what I mean? Of just like, I'm going to do, put all the chips to the table on this one thing and finish it. You know what I mean? And
exactly.
Like,
but
Chris Smith did. Yeah. Kevin Smith bet on himself in a way that Mark Borchardt did not necessarily take the gamble on himself.
Exactly. I mean, that's what makes American movie so interesting. And Mark Borchardt actually, when you look at those shorts, he's a talented director too. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, those shots in Coven where like the they're surrounding the car and stuff. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's like maybe too big of an idea for him to fully execute. And you were talking about this earlier, Steven. I think it's what's great about this movie is like, and great about early indie filmmaking, not early, but you know, like Rodriguez and stuff, but like
90s indie filmmaking.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Where you have a limitation. Okay, I can only have the location at night. So instead of trying to fake the funk, I'm going to write in that the doors are locked shut with gum.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's such a brilliant move. And then you don't have to worry about the fact that it's nighttime this entire... It's one of the smartest things the movie's done. Also, the total charm of both Mosier and Walt Flanagan playing like four different guys in this movie. And I love the moment where Mosier is talking to Mosier in the hockey sequence.
Oh, yes.
And it's like because of how you had to film it, right? Like Mosier has a beard for one part and then the beard is shaved when he's the other character. Like, it's so cool. And that shit works. And if you don't like know the guys, I mean, nowadays, right? It's like Walt Flanagan was on the fucking comic book show, and he had his own podcast or whatever, and everybody knows Mosier from the podcast and his own movies and everything. So like, now that stuff's kind of killed if you're in the know. But if you're not, you don't really notice that they're the same guys, which is very cool.
It's also a difference of filmmaking. These days, you would like wink at the fact that all three, like you would make a joke of the fact that it's him coming back every time. But like, this is a very sincere movie in a weird way. And like, that's what draws me to it is that the fact that like, yeah, you'd see Mosier and like, if you were looking for it, you can notice that, but it doesn't. No. I never was pulled out of the movie by noticing that fact. And like, that is a very, like, it, to me, that is part of that, like, that again, that amateur charm of it is that, not that he is skilled, but there is there's this carelessness, this recklessness.
I think Mosier totally works. I feel like Walt Flanagan, maybe one too many, because when I, you know, the guidance counselor looks like the complaining guy. I mean,
you know, the camera holds on them, on Walt Flanagan's characters a little more, I think, than the Mosier ones. Yeah. The Mosier ones are more like the Prestige. You're like, is that him? You know?
Like, yeah, there's just Mosier's dropping through the floor and getting killed.
What's he doing with that fishbowl?
Am I the man in the box, man?
That's beautiful box, man.
No, I mean, this this movie got me into Jesus Lizard. And for that, I'm always going to be
totally
eternally thankful.
There's a magician that snowballs in your mouth. It's a trick he pulled.
First, you're going to suck his dick, and then he's going to want to come back, you see. That's snowballing.
If you liked what you just heard and you want to get the rest of this episode, head on over to patreon.com/wehatemovies, where not only can you instantly unlock the rest of this fine program, you also get yourself access to hours upon hours of exclusive shows and commentaries you cannot get anywhere else. That's patreon.com/wehatemovies.